Father, that you would anoint your word, that we could just take a minute and lay aside everything and ask you to prepare our spirits to receive your word. Lord, we lay aside our work and our worries and our lives and our needs and our cares, because you're going to take care of all of them anyway. And we just ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and our minds and our spirits to be open.
Yes.
Quicken your word. Breathe in your word. Breathe life into us through your word today.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are moving on in the study of the armor to the next piece. And as of when I woke up this morning, I did not have one word written. I didn't know what to say. So I was a little bit late to church, and I blame God because I had to receive it last minute this morning. Also the kitchen clock, which was running slow. Read Ephesians 6:10 through 18 again. We just want to be refreshed on the concept of the armor of God, and then we're going to look at a certain piece of it again today. Today we're going to be looking at having our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:10 through 18.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
So we're going to talk about peace again, and we already talked about peace. Remember how all these pieces of armor intertwine and build off each other, and we learned about having our loins, our reproduction area, the core strength area, wrapped with layers of truth. And as we go through the other pieces, more truths come and wrap around that core system, making it even stronger. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, having the reality that pride is self-righteousness, and we don't want to block Christ and his righteousness. When we talked about peace as a weapon before, we talked about putting Jesus between us and the offender. We talked about stepping back, waiting for his peace to come, and then allowing him to face our enemy. It's a good weapon. It's a good defense. I mean, not a weapon. It's a good weapon of defense when the enemy comes. So I was thinking about that when we came to having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've read that a lot of times in my 40-some Christian years, and I've always taken it to mean, because the word gospel is in there, that it meant the gospel of salvation, that it meant bringing people into peaceful relationship with God by repenting, being born of his spirit, coming into salvation. There is a gospel of salvation, but we are now talking about the armor of God. An unsaved person can't wear that armor. Because they don't have God living inside, and the armor is God. It's completely
right.
Made up of the very real presence of God.
Right.
Unsaved people can't wear that armor. They don't have God. But he said the gospel of peace is part of the armor. That means we're not talking about the gospel of salvation necessarily right now. We're talking about a piece of armor that a Christian wears called peace. And he said it's on our feet. So last night, I just was like, God, I think we're going to have to wait to start on this one because I definitely don't own it from this new point perspective, you know. So if it's not taking the gospel of salvation but the gospel of peace, what exactly are we talking about? And why is it on our feet different from the rest of the armor? You remember when I had the vision of the armor being made out of diamond, multifaceted diamond. And then God said, and the legs are like chariots, and the feet are the horses that carry the chariot. Now, I love that, because when we got to the feet, he actually used the word shod. He used the word shod. We only use that when we put shoes on horses. We don't say, I think I'll go down and buy myself some new shods, you know, some new, what do you call those things? Horseshoes. We don't go out to get our feet shod. I mean, they put that little brass horseshoe on and then they nail it right into his feet. So we don't actually think of shodding our feet. We think of shoeing our feet. But that word shod actually does mean shoes. To put on shoes so that we are ready to go someplace. We're ready to walk. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about having our feet ready to walk in the peace of God.
Right.
This is different than only backing up. And this is how we've actually, we try to live in God, but it's like we step into God, we step out of God. We walk in God, we walk out of God. Sometimes we walk more out of God than we do in God. And he's saying you have to learn how to walk in the peace of God. Living in the peace of God. Letting it be your lifestyle. And then to carry the message, the gospel, the good message of this peace of God. So we need to be prepared that we can walk in an example lifestyle of the peace of God and carry the message of the peace of God. Now, remembering that God is the armor, what we're doing is we're carrying in this chariot of our life the holy presence of God. When the horse is running wild, they don't have to have their feet shod. They're actually created in a way they can carry their own weight and run around out there in the wild without horseshoes. But when they are brought in and prepared to carry a rider, now they want to put something on their feet that can bear the weight of that rider. And God has told us that this piece of armor, this peace is the way to carry the weight of the glory of God. We must be prepared to walk through life carrying the weight of the glory of a holy God. So our feet must be shod with the gospel of peace. That is a mighty awesome revelation he gave me this morning. It is just amazing. So, let's move on with that. Today is only going to be the introduction of peace, because at this point, that just starting out with me this morning, we didn't even get to point one. We only got to preparation for peace, to understand needing to be prepared. I already said all this, and I got to catch up to myself. So what is peace? What is this great thing that we need to walk in called peace? I've kind of looked at what portion of God am I created in. What, you know, God, this multifaceted diamond, multifaceted God, each one of us reflects a certain part of God. He created us in his image, but he's so massive, he had to create all of humanity to reflect himself. So Harvey created in this vibrant, life-giving, aggressive, outgoing, loud part of God. Sue created in the peace of God. I come from a quieter, gentler, peaceful. And I've always, you know, people say that's one of my anointings is imparting peace to people. So I thought, I really understand the peace of God. Right down through all the layers into the very, very center of the total quiet part of God. That's the part I love. That's the part that excites me. I love that. But I only realized last night when I came to this, I don't own enough understanding of this peace that I'm supposed to reflect. We all have to live in the peace of God. It is not only about a quiet personality. On the way to church, I love my prayer life in my car. That's my prayer closet. I don't know why, but I get in the car and the Holy Spirit shows up. I start to pray, he takes over. So I'm going, oh God, your peace is so awesome. Well, I love this peace! And I went, what is that? It didn't sound like peace. We're going to take down the enemy! But That does not sound like peace. What is this? Peace is not just meaning the one who has a quiet, soft personality. That's not the definition of peace. The definition of God's peace is a resting inside of your spirit, a trusting completely in God that cannot be shaken. It is security in God. It is a knowing that He is here, He cares, whatever He does is right and good, even if it doesn't look right and good to me. It's trust, it's rest, it's security, it's my safe place. They can arrest you, take everything away and throw you in jail, but they can't take your peace. They can remove all your goods, all your friends, the whole world can hate you, but they can't touch that inner peace. It is complete rest, dependency in God. It is confidence in Him, not in me. It is powerful, it is meek, and it is humble. Jesus was powerfully meek and humble, gentle. And yet, He overthrew the tables and took a whip and slapped that whip around at the temple when people were using the church to make money. So that was an act of aggression. I don't think it was so quiet that day. If you've ever been touched by peace, then you know that peace, when the peace of God takes over you, everything else subsides and yields to that peace. It's that moment when your smile comes on your face. All your troubles just seem to melt. They just melt. They don't matter anymore because that peace overpowers everything else. I want to think for a minute about the hurricane that just hit the Philippines. It was a really, they say it may be the actual biggest storm ever in the history of the world. It was a horrifying hurricane. A hurricane is when water and wind both get all stirred up. You know, the wind is raging, the waves are raging and carrying the wind is carrying those waves, and finally it hits the shore, devastates ships on the sea first. Then it hits the shore and it just tears up everything. There is no greater force physically than wind and water. And put them together in a hurricane, that's about as crazy as it can get. They are estimating, they haven't finished counting, they're planning for mass burial in the Philippines, possibly up to 10,000 people. Wow. That were killed this week by that hurricane. That is a powerful force of nature. Powerful. Now, you might talk an enemy down in the flesh. Now, they can be raging, and you might say, now just calm down, just calm down. Can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I give you a tranquilizer? You know, can I hug you? Let me give you a kiss and a hug and calm you. You might, but will that work against the wind? Will that work against raging waters? You can't reason with them. I used to say, God, if I'm going to come under attack, let it be a human. Because you can try to reason with them. Find a weak spot, maybe, you know. Want a chocolate bar? Don't let it be an animal. You can't reason with an animal. Well, even worse than an animal is wind and water. So I want to take you to Luke 8, starting in verse 22. We're going to take a look at what Jesus used to prepare His disciples about living in peace. Because when He said prepare, that means we have to do something to put on this peace. It's not just going to happen because we understand it with our brain. So in Luke 8, verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day that He, Jesus, went into a ship with His disciples. And He said unto them, let us go over unto the other side. You know, every time Jesus says to you, you want to go somewhere else? You want to get on the other side of something? You want to go further? Look out. You're about to get in the boat. He calls us to go to the unknown. He calls us to leave comfort zone. He calls us to face issues, problems that will strengthen us. Verse 23, but as they sailed, He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. It sounds like a hurricane to me. And they were filled with water. and they were in jeopardy. And what was Jesus doing?
Sleeping.
When these issues come in our life, he took them on the lake and he knew about the storm, so he went to sleep. Sometimes we're saying, Jesus, don't you see? Don't you see all this junk in my life? Don't you see the problems in my life? Where are you? He's just taking a little nap. On purpose. On purpose, because you're being tested. 24, and they came to him. They made a good choice. They came to Jesus. And they awoke him. We need to realize that's our only hope in the midst of that storm.
Amen.
They awoke him, saying, Master, Master! You know, we become very, very submissive when they're in the midst of a storm. All of a sudden, he's not just our Savior. He's Master! Whatever you say, I'm going to obey you. You're the boss here. Just tell me what to do. They became in full submission. Master, Master, we perish! Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased. And there was calm. You know, I think about movies all the time because we've watched movies our whole life. We're movie buffs, you know. And I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, edited version years ago. Somebody used to edit it for us, and I finally got rid of those too, because for them to edit it, they had to hear all the swearing in order to take it out for me. So I quit accepting edited versions. But we watched Raiders of the Lost, I think it was Raiders of the Ark thing. Anyway, here's this big ninja guy. You know, he's big, he's powerful, he's got these swords. And what did the other guy do? He watches him for a while, pulls out his gun, and he's dead. That's what happens with the enemy. He rages and he swings his arms and he throws troubles at us and he lies to us and he's throwing on a big show. And all Jesus has to do is say, leave.
Right.
Stop. And he has to obey him. Do you know Satan has to obey God?
Amen.
He's like on a leash.
Right.
He can only run as far as that leash lets him run.
Yep.
And his leash is time limit and it's running out. And then Jesus said unto them, because now the whole storm stops, everything is calm. And he looks at his disciples and says, where's your faith? Their faith was just tested. You want to get to the other side, your faith is going to get tested. And the way to pass the test is to call on the peace of God. Not to try to be at peace. The armor is God himself. You have to live in the very peace of Christ, resting in him, depending on him, releasing him, and believing whatever he says. When you cry, Master, Master, whatever he says, that's the right answer, even if we don't like it. And they, being afraid, wondered. That doesn't mean they were going, what just happened? That word wondered means they were in awe. They had a jaw-dropping moment. They went, oh, did you see that? Wow. And they marveled, they admired, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? They didn't have a question mark there. It was an exclamation point. Then they go, what manner of man is this? Who can do this? They knew what manner of man it was. They were exclaiming what kind of manner. They said, do you know? This has got to be God. Who else can tell the sea and the wind to be quiet and to be still? Do you see what manner of man this is? This is a man of peace. Peace is more powerful than the raging storm. Peace is powerful. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are the strongholds? Storms. Things we believe. Things that are coming against us in this world. We have to stop living as though we're a citizen of this world. We have to start living in the heavenly realm.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God realm, where it doesn't matter what I own, what I have, what I eat, where I'm at, who likes me or hates me, or how anything goes. Because my home is eternal, and the peace of God is my joy.
Amen.
Not the pleasures of this world.
Right.
Then it doesn't matter. They said, for he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. This mighty God can command anything in your life. If you're broke, he can command wealth. If you're sick, he can command health. He can command anything.
Right.
And he does if you're a Christian. If you're walking with the Lord, he is in charge of your life. Then why is my life so bad? Because you're being tested. You're on the water in the boat, and it's testing time. Sometimes we spend most of our life out there in that boat and never get to the other side. We just got like one oar, and we just keep going in a circle, you know? I'm going to stay in this test forever. I'm going to just keep going around and around and around in the same test because I'm not passing it. My husband always said, you can't fail a test. You get to retake it. Retake. You get kind of tired of retaking it. Isaiah, when they said, do you see what manner of man? Look, see what manner of man we're talking about. Look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. He came as a baby. Unto us a son is given, the Son of God. And he and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He rules the whole spirit of peace. Their language changed. They begin talking to one another about him. You know, sometimes we have a real outpouring of God here. And what happens is we start talking to each other. Did you see what God did today? Last night they were in worship, in practice, and my daughter was up here singing, and she started singing about, I see the angels, I see the angels. And I'm going, oh, that's sweet. Well, she saw the angels filling this church. Some were dancing, some were warring, some were weeping. They were preparing for today. And it was so real to her that she left worship and came down and sat by me. She was so sure that I had to see it. She said, did you see them? I went, no. God didn't open my eyes to see them. But had I seen them, we would have been, yeah, you see the one over there. That one over there is doing. I saw it too. When God does something, it changes the way we talk. It changes the way we live. If you saw the waters calm, if you saw the wind calm, you'd talk about it, and it would change your life. I have prayed this morning. I prayed this morning several times that God would let you experience his peace here today. When we finish talking, I hope that he's going to lead to give you an opportunity to experience the very presence of the peace, of the Prince of Peace. I'm still praying that. If you want it, you start praying it too. They were prepared. This verse said that our feet must be shod. And it didn't skip over and say, with the peace of God. It said, with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. So there is a message. The gospel is a good message about this peace of God. And our feet must carry that message. You cannot carry a message in power unless you own the message. Unless you've experienced the message. That's one reason this message is going to be broken in pieces. Because I have experienced the peace of God at the level that I'm sharing with you today. I've experienced his peace when I lose everything. I've experienced his peace when people hate me. I've experienced his peace through rejection and through death. I've experienced the peace of God in these ways. But there's other ways I haven't. There's other ways that in my everyday routine life, the devil still beats me up and steals my peace. And I don't own that yet. I hope by the time we get through all these messages, I will experience it and own it. And experiencing it usually means a storm. So I invite the storm. I'm getting in the boat.
Amen.
As long as Jesus is in my boat,
amen.
I'm saying bring it on.
That's right.
Because I want to own this message.
That's it.
So that I can carry it into the lives of others, but into my own life to example it and to impart it. to someone else. We're going to go into why people need this message. We're going to go into how we are to be the ambassadors of peace, the counselors of peace, by releasing Christ to do that through our life. But it changed how they talked. It changed how they lived. It changed everything. This power that Christ displayed to overcome the greatest power on earth was peace. We don't look at peace as great power, but it is. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We need to know Him, trust Him in this manifestation. God manifests Himself in many ways, and we need to fully own this expression of God. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, be perfect. In other words, grow up and be mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. If we choose to live in peace, the God of love and peace will be with us. Is God in your boat? Is He in your boat? If God is not in your boat, then you don't even know what I'm talking about. You haven't known what we're talking about all these weeks about put on the armor. Because if God is not inside, then God cannot be your armor. He can't be your peace until you know Him. Getting to know Him is the same as living in Him. We make a choice. Instead of Master, Master, we're crying, Savior, Savior. I need You. I have sin. I have guilt. I have shame. And I've lived my life my way. I don't want it anymore. I want to give my life to You, Father. And that's possible as we bring all our sin to Christ on the cross and let His blood pay for our sin. Then the Holy Spirit of God will live inside of us. But I want to know if He's in your boat. Is the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Is He living inside of you? Perhaps He's living in you and yet you're crying out and saying, God, I know these things are true, but my life, there's all these problems and I don't have any solutions. What is the solution you're looking for? I can't pay the rent. I'm looking for the rent. Okay. What if the rent doesn't come? Take the peace of God to that situation. You can't pay the rent and you might lose your house and you don't know where you go and you don't have any money. Well, if you're living in the flesh, that's all consuming, that problem. And your mind wants to say, I must find a way to get the money. I must know where I'm going to live. I have to know how I'm going to pay that rent or I cannot be at peace. So what if He doesn't pay the rent? And you're forced to move, but you don't know where you're going to go. Peace of God is when you choose to say, God, You're in charge of my life.
Yep.
If You don't want me to live here anymore, then I'm sure You'll take care of me. If I have nowhere to go, You'll open a door.
Yep.
Or I'll live wherever. Do I have a car? Do I have a friend? It doesn't matter what it means. I know I can trust You. And I'm going to choose to trust You. Right. And that peace of God will come. I'm going to give you some verses about how to walk into that in a minute. But I want you to hang on to Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I want you to see a connection between grace and peace. Because all through the scriptures I noticed that there's grace, then peace. Sometimes there's grace and love, then peace. Grace, mercy, peace. But grace, remember, is the divine influence of God upon your heart. So anything we're up against, we're choosing to say, do I just look at the problem? Or do I look for the grace? God, what is Your divine influence here? What is it that You want to do here? And when we take a step to obey that influence, then peace will come. There's always a step to get into grace. There's a step. And then grace will lead to the peace. Philippians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 4:7. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to give you some homeworks that support this if you want to write these verses down or get the tape and write them down later. In 2 Timothy, there's a lot about grace. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, as those that call upon our Lord out of a pure heart. And so they're saying, first of all, we have to decide we want a life that's right with God. And we choose to live by faith in the love of God, and then the peace will come. Titus 1:4, Philippians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:2. These all are examples of how grace first and then peace. When the divine influence of God comes, that's when he's offering you the ability to do his will. He'll bring you an idea. You cooperate with that. The power to do that of God himself will flow, and peace will come over you.
Amen.
That's right. How we find that peace.
Right.
1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means he sets you apart completely to belong to him. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to allow God to set us apart that he may continue to live his life through us.
Amen.
You don't put on the armor if you're not going to war. These awesome pieces of armor are for soldiers. God's soldiers. God created us so that he could continue to flow out himself on this earth. If we each reflect a different little aspect of God, we have to give ourselves to God. Let him set us apart.
Yep.
That he can express himself to this world.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. God himself has to give you this peace. Always. It has to be him, not us.
Amen.
We need to experience this peace because God, everything of God is addictive. His love is addictive. His peace is addictive. His mercy is addictive. And sometimes when we're in that boat of conflict and troubles and problems, he's not going to calm it. Sometimes his divine influence is to teach us how to navigate through the storm into safety. So it's all up to him. We just need to trust him, and that peace means complete trust, complete confidence in him, complete dependence on him, resting in him, who he is for you in your life and through your life. So we need to experience being touched by this peace of God. Would you like to be touched? To experience what it means to feel that peace of God inside of you today. There's going to be a step. The step is that you need to find something you're not at peace about. Find something that's troubling your life. You have a conflict, you have a problem, you have an issue, you have a burden, a stress, a worry, something in your life that is now troubling you and stealing your peace, and you can't resolve it. I want you to think about that, and then I want you to come up here this morning and bring it to Jesus. Bring it to him, choosing, God, I don't know what to do with this. It has me all confused. It has me angry. It has me troubled. I don't understand it, and I don't like it. I don't know what to do with it, but I'm going to put it in your hands. I give it to you. Anything you want to do with it, I cooperate. Whatever you do with it, I trust you with it. Anything you tell me to do, I'm going to obey you. And then he's going to turn around, and he's going to touch you, and you're going to get filled up with that peace. And it's going to bring that smile and that resting, and that thing is going to melt away from you. You can walk in that peace if you continue just resting in him. Or you can get out there and the devil can say, but did he fix the problem? And you can go, no, he didn't. You know, can you picture in that boat? It's already filling up with water and Jesus is asleep. That means he's in the water too. He knew. He's laying in this boat that's filling with water and waves and raging and wind. Can you imagine the disciples saying, I believe he's really God, and I believe he's really in the boat, and I believe that he has more power than wind and water. So why did you let this storm hit my boat? Why are you allowing this? I am so mad at you, God. You didn't have to send this storm. You could have let it be peaceful. You keep putting trouble in my life. You keep causing. You got all the power. Why don't you do something? He would have just kept on sleeping. How stupid would we be? Or to fall on our knees and say, Master, Master, I'm going to die if you don't do something. We perish in whatever he says. Even if he said, I'm not going to calm this, but get behind the wheel and I'm going to teach you how to navigate through it peacefully, even while it's going on. Or we can just keep screaming at God that we're mad about what he's allowing, and he's just going to keep on saying, I can't do a thing. I can't do a thing. Because you're not really coming to me to accept my way. You're just griping and complaining. So you just keep going around in that circle, right out in the middle of that, right in the middle of the hurricane, can't get out. I don't know exactly what that right moment is, but at some moment I believe God's going to offer you a chance to bring something to him and trust him in total confidence in him and experience the peace of God.